Well, we're here again. Welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live, almost daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Mandela's memorial service today also marked the 20th anniversary of the Nobel Peace Prize he shared with F.W. de Klerk, the last white South African president who brokered the end of apartheid rule with Mandela and served as deputy president under Mandela in the 1990s. It's a significant anniversary, given Mandela's legacy of forgiveness and reconciliation. So that's why the world is making a big to-do of the fact that President Barack Obama shook Cuban President Raul Castro's hand during Mandela's memorial service today in South Africa. Relations between Cuba and the United States have softened somewhat since Fidel Castro's brother took power, but there's still a long way to go, many people think. Could this handshake be the start of something big and wonderful? While we won't know just yet, we want to know just what reconciliation you would want to see happen around the world. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. But if I were you, I'd just email us your questions at voxpop@wamc.org. With that said, I want to hear from you. You're the audience. You're the Vox. And we're the Pop. 1-800-348-2551. Love to hear what you say. I mean, is it about time for Cuba? Is it time to sort of look into the other guy's wicket and say, well, what are they so upset about? What is it that we could do to come to some kind of an arrangement with them? Or what is it, for example, would we like a drone landing here and taking somebody out? I mean, are there ways to do this? 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Jim in Eastern Connecticut. Jim, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan. How are you today?
Well, I'm okay. You know, we thought it was going to be snowing. I had a big meeting down at New Paul's, but I didn't go because it got called off. And so I don't really know what's going on anywhere else. But
well, here in Eastern Connecticut, we're getting maybe just a sugar coating of snow.
Right.
I'm driving along hands-free, of course, according to the law.
Of course, of course.
And seeing just a wee bit of a sugar coating, that's about it. Down the long I-95 here in Connecticut, they thought there might be maybe 2 to 4 inches down there.
Right.
We'll see what the weather people come up with when they get out and take their measurements. I believe that there should be a gradual path to the normalization of relations with Cuba. The embargo started, 1959, 58, 59? It's an almost 55-year-old Cold War relic. Am I close?
Yeah, you're close. But I mean, just speaking, you know, on the other side of that, would we, until they create some kind of a more plebiscitary or some kind of a situation where they can vote or where they don't throw their political enemies in jail,
is not something that happens at the snap of a finger. A lot has to happen.
Yeah.
A lot has to happen with the governing structure in Cuba, but it is, I mean, we have had in the United States, in our own hemisphere, a somewhat checkered relationship with some of our southern neighbors, South America, Central America, like that, and I think we have to start making some inroads to kind of get our own house in order. Right now, on the other side of the world, China is arising as a major player. 25 years ago, I'd said that to someone and they laughed in my face.
Sure.
Now, they're gradually emerging from the workshop of the world.
Yep.
Pretty soon, they're going to be doing innovation.
Yeah, you know, Dick Nixon saw it.
To Dick Nixon, he did have an extremely solid grasp on world view.
He did. He did.
And one of those things was the rapprochement to China, to Mao Zedong, and to the Chinese government, and now they're becoming very major players. But
They are. I think it's the second largest economy in the world. Hey, Jim, there are a lot of people lining up behind you, but I want to thank you, first of all, for making the first call, because that always gets everybody else going.
There you go. As long as I can do, prime the pump.
And second of all, Jim, I got to tell you that I certainly agree with you on the Cuban issue. So thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. Okay.
Take care, Ellen.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Wendy on the road. On the road with Wendy. Go ahead.
Well, I had lots of thoughts on reconciliation issues. And I think I like what he said about getting our own house in order. We could close the School of the Americas and stop training the Latin American military. We could get the U.S. bases out of countries all around the world. And I'd like to see Israel out of Palestine.
Okay. Wendy, we thank you for that very good and brief and to-the-point call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Will in Albany. Will in Albany, you're on.
I wanted to point out that the surfers in Cape Town, South Africa yesterday got together on YouTube and they did a moment of silence. They paddled out, got in a circle, laid a wreath, they sang a song, they did a moment of silence, and they went on with their daily lives. I just love the many types of celebrations for this wonderful man.
Yeah. Well, Will, is there any place in the world that you would like to see reconciliation happen in the Mandela, after the Mandela, approach?
I would love to see the types of apartheid that aren't as blatant as they were then, but to get the 1% of the people that have all the money and the people that are struggling. I would like to see equity and overall unity in the world.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because apparently that was an aim of Mandela also, and one that he felt he had not arrived at. Because that situation still exists in South Africa. You might have apartheid, but in fact, there is this terrible distance between those who have the most and the least there and here.
So agreed.
So, Will, thanks for the call. Appreciate it
very
much.
You have a blessed day. Thank you.
You too, Will. Okay. Let's go to Jonathan in Norfolk. Okay, Jonathan, you're on. Welcome back.
Hi. In the 19th century, when the British were top dogs, a statesman, Palmerston, said, "Britain has no eternal enemies, no eternal friends, only eternal interests." And I think that also applies to the United States. And the eternal interests of the United States are peace and prosperity for its people, and everything should be done in that light. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely support not only an opening to Cuba, but also a possible rapprochement with the Iranians and other areas of the world which are tendentious and might threaten our security and our wealth.
But it is interesting that you say that, and I completely understand what you're saying. The whole idea that, our interests have changed, we certainly were no friends of South Africa. And certainly of the disenfranchised folks in South Africa. And now, of course, Barack Obama stands up and the whole place explodes in contrast to their own prime minister. That is real interest of their president, I should say. So, again, Jonathan, thanks for the call. I think you make a very important point. We're going to take a short break. Thanks a lot. We'll take a short break right now, and we'll be right back. So Beth, Dale, and everybody else who's on the phone, keep calling 1-800-348-2551. We want to hear from you.
Support for WAMC goes from Rhinebeck Artist Shops in Rhinebeck and New Paltz, featuring holiday gifts, stocking stuffers, picture framing, and fine art materials for students, professionals, and the public for over 30 years. RhinebeckArt.com. Laurie Stilwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StilwellCPA.com. Buttermilk Falls Inn, Milton, a 75-acre Hudson Riverfront resort with lodging, a farm-to-table restaurant, and spa. Now booking holiday corporate and private parties and more, buttermilkfallsinn.com. And Charles Padula DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, featuring Invisalign orthodontics, digital x-rays, and Velscope oral cancer screening, PadulaDDS.com.
I want to thank you all for calling. You're doing great. I want to encourage you, 1-800-348-2551, and thank you. First of all, we got an email from Sandra, who says, quote, "How about the House and the Senate? Love it. For reconciliation. I like it." And I think that's brilliant on her part. Okay, let's go to Beth in Niskayuna. Beth in Niskayuna, you're on.
Reconciliation has always been controversial because nobody goes to prison, nobody pays for their crimes. So we have it in a sense because Obama promised he wouldn't go after Bush for alleged war crimes in the Middle East. Nobody's going to go after Obama for his possible war crimes in the Middle East. So we already have reconciliation. I like what they do in Central America, the activist judges that are going after war criminals there. That, to me, is a solution. It is not a solution to just air these things and say, oh, it was so terrible, and to do nothing.
So you want to get even, right, Beth?
Getting even is not having a judge prosecute someone for war crimes who's been protected by their own country.
Okay. Beth, as always, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Dale in Oneonta. Dale, you're on.
Yes. The thing I think is that when you look at our involvement in the various parts of the world. Look at Pakistan now and the problems we have there. The more we intrude in these countries, the bigger our problems. I hate to agree with Pat Buchanan very often, but he wrote a column recently where he talked about since the end of the war in Vietnam, I mean, how many Americans have been killed by Vietnamese after our withdrawal from their internal affairs.
In other words, very few is what you're saying.
Yeah, like none.
Like none. And who's
and so, and the more we meddle in these countries thinking that we know how to tell them how to run their affairs, the more problems we cause and the more anti-American feelings we stir up.
And Dale, of course, you remember the domino theory.
The domino theory was a joke.
Yes. And we were going to, if Vietnam fell after all of those kids had to die, then everything would fall in order. And of course, that hasn't happened. And maybe we should have learned something from that. But Dale, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay. We'll go to Carl in Palatine. Okay, Carl, you're on.
Hello. Following up on the strong comments and discussion you had with the very first caller vis-a-vis China, I come from a different perspective. I believe that two of the brightest presidents we've had in many, not presidents, administration, Clinton and Gore, made a horrendous strategic mistake that is continuing to punish this company economically and financially, by which they opened up the WTA, World Trade Organization, and opened up our ports, particularly in Long Beach, to very cheaply produced Chinese goods. Thank you, Walmart, from Arkansas, remembering the Arkansas connection.
And but Carl, remembering our question of the day, which is reconciliation, and what is your answer to that question?
In terms of reconciliation, we have to get a balance so that we can return manufacturing jobs to the heart of this country. We will not get it unless we do that, simply because you can't compete with any nation, not picking on China, that provides $8, not per hour, but per day, to compete with our workers.
Okay, so I'm sorry because there's so many people behind you, Carl.
We must balance this in an open way, and they must do just what Senator Schumer has been calling for 6 years, balance their currency in accordance with the WTO, whereby the currency is open internationally.
So you want more reconciliation with China?
Absolutely.
Okay, gotcha, Carl. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Is it Valentine in Pennsylvania? Valentine?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Oh, we can.
Oh, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I know there are a lot of people waiting to express their opinions, so I'm quickly going to say that I truly believe that if we wanted to honor a man like Mandela and so many before him, the Gandhis and Martin Luther King and everything, we should look for reconciliation, not just with Cuba, with China, but all parts of the world. And if I may just add one final thing.
No, you can go on. Go ahead.
I'm a veteran, and I believe every day we hear about the sacrifice that our young men and women are making, which really, really affects me. And we call them heroes and we all these accolades, but if we want to honor them, truly honor them and all the world, we should get the nations to sit down together and figure out a way to stop continuing this idea that war and money and weapons is what solves our problems.
Mm-hmm.
If we all the resources that we spent in wars throughout the world and used it to build hospitals and schools and infrastructures, you know, people would have no need to really want to battle with each other. What we need are great minds like the Mandelas. We need people who can think outside this box about controlling and manipulating and being part of the 1%. I don't grudge anybody for having wealth. It's what I would call excessive and vulgar wealth that I think is creating a problem, not just here in this country, but all over the world.
How would you go about doing that, Valentine? I want to remind everybody, by the way, the chances of getting in right now all of a sudden are very, very good. So good that when Valentine hangs up, that'll be the end of this one. 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead, Valentine. Finish up.
I think that if we can get not just world leaders, but people who are forward-thinking, with a more of a humanitarian approach to solving problems in the world and not a money-based solution about that. If I can control the price of labor in one country and control their assets and all these kind of things, that makes us a better and powerful
world. Of course, Valentine, that's easier said than done. You know that.
But we need to start. And my contention is that I'm 64 years old now.
Yeah.
I remember Kennedy being shot. I remember Martin Luther King and all the others. And we go through these phases where we talk. Right now we're gonna celebrate Mandela. But 3 months from now, everybody's just worried about how much money they can stuff in their pockets and how many large TVs we can buy and all this kind of stuff. And we're not moving forward. And I wish that in my lifetime I would see a genuine upsurge of people who really, you know, when politicians go to Washington, it's to serve the people. Well, more and more, somebody's got to wake up and smell the roses. They're not serving the people.
But a little off target. Valentine, you've added a great deal to this discussion, but we really have to figure not only what's wrong, because I think a lot of us know what's wrong, but how to get there. And I'm interested in that. But Valentine, for today, thanks. That's it. We appreciate your call. Okay, let's go to Frank in wherever. Frank, where are you?
I'm talking to you from Tyringham. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Frank. Glad to have you.
Okay, well, my quick comment is, you know, we're able to deal with, really, countries we've been to war with, Japan, Germany, and, of course, other countries that are so oppressive.
Yeah, but we beat them.
Oh, yes, we beat them, but, you know, the thing is, I would prefer to have good relationship. Starting a decent relationship with Cuba, as opposed to sending, you know, really harsh, hostile, whatever. I would prefer to see, you know, something starting as far as reconciliation.
Well, okay, fine. You would do that how?
The same way the President Obama did this morning.
He shake hands.
Starting by shaking the hand of Raul Castro. Maybe he could start something positive. You know.
Sure. And then would you expect them to do... Would you expect them to do anything back?
You know what? You never know.
Well, I don't know what that means. In other words...
I don't know if there's going to be some sort of reciprocity. That's all. I think, you know what, doing that is a good start.
Okay, Frank, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, let's go to Dan in Shokan. Okay, Dan, you're on.
Alan?
Yep.
Hey, Alan. What I want to say is that with our government, we've been so violent, and there's so many wars, and so many people have died all over the country by the United States government, and just through wars in general, that we as Americans are perceived, I don't think, in the greatest light throughout the world.
Wait. You know, today when Obama got up in front of that crowd, the roar was unbelievable.
Fine. That's fine. But we know here what goes on. I mean, if we do, a lot of people do. A lot of people don't, actually. That's why you call the radio station. Because people die. Innocent people die. Innocent people go to jail. And we need to realize that.
Well,
we
how
need
come
to realize
everybody
that things are done in American
Well, Dan, how come
American every
Well, no, we
name.
Get we get it. How come so many people want to come to this country?
Because it is a good country.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going wrong. I mean, the spying, just things that are done in our name aren't okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not okay to fly drones over it's just the innocent lives. That's not okay.
Okay.
We have to reconcile the innocent lives that are taken away
by
money. It's just money.
Dan, how would you feel if somebody called right now and said, "Yeah, but Dan, how about the thousands of people who died in the World Trade Center?" You know.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you think I mean?
By terrorists.
Yes.
How that relates to the innocent lives being lost?
Well, you say we're depriving others of innocent lives. What about the other way around?
Well, it's not blood for blood.
I agree.
I don't believe.
No, I agree. See, I
like
love
that.
The reconciliation idea. But, you know, I truly believe reconciliation means everybody just taking a look at what the other guy's needs are and
exactly.
trying to approach it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, in a peaceful way. But that's what I
well, exactly.
that's what I mean. But government isn't run that way, or you know, government quote unquote mm-hmm. government in the world view isn't. It's military. It's military industrial complex.
Well,
I
certainly understand that. Hey Dan, they're all lined up behind you. I thank you very much. It's a very
Thanks,
important.
Alan.
It's a very important call. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Bye.
It. Yeah. Let's go to Ken in Albany. Ken, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just wanted to remind everybody that, reconciliation occurred in South Africa after the victory of the forces of liberation and the progressive forces and mm-hmm. and the defeat of the reactionary oppression, oppressive forces. And,
so, So, Ken, you're saying that because the apartheidists could see the handwriting on the wall, the basic reconciliation was achieved. But the other side of that is that Mandela had to make up his mind that he was going to give something. And in this case, there was this whole question of, the differences between rich and poor and nationalization of industries, and he didn't do those things. So he put something on the table, too.
I see. So it looks to you like it was a deal. I would say that the anti-apartheid side had so much success, especially when the world was finally going along with divestment and all of that, that really the apartheid forces basically were not in a position to have much of a say to compromise on.
Well, no, they saw the
AMC,
yeah.
The AMC took power. I mean, they might have, I'm sure they made deals, but they were in power in the country.
I don't think that's true.
When Mandela
I don't think that's true. I'm sorry to disagree with you, really, Ken, I am. But I think that you're right, that it was certainly going their way, but by no means were they in charge. I think de Klerk, who also got the Nobel Prize, by the way, as we have mentioned, was honored because I think he understood that he was getting the best deal he could make here, and it
right.
could have been far worse for him.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
So Ken, I thank you. There are five people behind you. We want to make sure we get everybody in, and I appreciate the call.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Edward in Western Massachusetts. Edward, you're on.
Yes, hi. I was calling in. I mean, this is probably a little unrelated.
Yep.
But I heard you talk. I heard one of the previous callers talking about issues in regards to keeping keeping our workforce going by controlling the influx of cheap goods from out of the country and things like that. And just recently, I've heard several people mention that we might do better to control terrorism in America by modeling our the way we deal with it using Israel as a model. And from what I've seen in my travels, limited though they may be, Switzerland seems to have a really wonderful system going economically. And so I think maybe if we just stop and take a look at what's working for other countries, we might get a better idea of what would work for us.
Sure, although there certainly are issues of scale, aren't there? You would give me that much, wouldn't you, Edward?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know.
And homogeneity, in other words, how people sort of are like, it's a small country, it's a wealthier country in terms of just everybody, getting some part of this. People look like each other, they sound like each other. So you can't always compare apples to oranges, but certainly you can learn something from everybody.
Exactly, and that's all I'm saying is that perhaps maybe we should take a look at what's working for other countries. I know nothing about tax structure or the political system in Switzerland, but I know that country seems to be working pretty darn well, and I know Israel is doing a wonderful job in dealing with terrorism, and I've heard many people say we could learn a lesson from them in many respects. So, maybe just taking more of a global view rather than, a more centralized local view and find what works and then try to implement it in its correct proportion and in its correct application here in the United States.
Edward, I'm glad you made that point. And I'm sure anybody who's listening will have some reaction to that. I appreciate your call very much. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, let's go to Neil in New York. Okay, Neil, you're on.
Oh, you can hear me right now?
Indeed, I can.
Okay, excellent. Well, I mean, not to take away from what the last guy was saying with his limited travels and his slow speech patterns. I mean, I like it.
Let's not do that. You're almost off the air, Neil, so be careful.
All right, my bad. I'm sorry.
It is your bad. Yeah, go ahead.
Reconciliation. We're trying to reconcile with all people, all creeds. You're talking about Nelson Mandela style, get out of prison. I'm not exactly sure. I missed the beginning of the show. But what I'm saying is my topic might have said ordinary people getting sent overseas. I'm not saying send ordinary people overseas. I'm saying that even Nelson Mandela was like an ordinary person. He went through jail.
Neil, we're running out of time because we're coming up on a break, but can you give it to me in a sentence? What do you want to do?
In a sentence, I say you should send a guy like me overseas with high public approval ratings in my community, a guy who actually gets along with people from different cultures, not a person who just is a public figure already.
Okay.
I mean, I understand.
I got you, Neil. We got you. Thank you, Neil.
Have a good one.
Okay. Let's go to take a break, and we will be right back. So Joe and Kathy and Eileen, you stay right there. We really want to hear from you.
Support for WAMC comes from Curran Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York. Legal and consulting services on regulatory issues for life insurance and annuity manufacturers and distributors. CurranCompliance.com. Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York. A classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts. AshokanCenter.org. The 1850 House Inn and Tavern, Rosendale, New York, a newly renovated Hudson Valley boutique hotel featuring 12 guest rooms with modern amenities. Holiday gift certificates online, 1850house.com. And College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com.
And we are coming around the mountain. Everybody gets their chance. Let's go to remembering the rules, and that is rule number one is once you've said it once, doesn't need to be said a second time. And here comes Jackie, who says, by at WMC.org, it's VoxPop at WMC.org, I support President Obama, but reconciliation with Ed Snowden would be a good start. Let us go to Joe in South Hadley. Joe, you're on. Hey, Joe.
Oh, hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I think the biggest barrier to reconciliation in any forum is the focusing on differences. And I think a lot of our lives would go a lot better if every interaction that we had, we started out by recognizing sort of the commonalities we had with the people we were disagreeing with, or even the things that we admire about the people we're disagreeing with.
I think that would go a long way towards stopping...
Sort of the vitriol that you see in so many interactions between people that don't really have to be enemies, but that are always painted as enemies these days.
And why are they painted as enemies?
Well, I think it's better television. I think the ratings go up if you can paint two people as enemies instead of having them having a reasoned conversation.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I often think about this. I mean, I think you're really on to something here. There are these commonalities, but then there are... You know, I mean, it takes two to tango, that is for sure. And it isn't only that we're the bad guys or that they're the bad guys. But what if God has told you to kill everybody who's not like you? That's a tough reconciliation, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we see it. We see it not only in our relative position versus other countries, but, you know, you see it in Iraq. You see it in Afghanistan. You see people killing each other because they're different kinds of Muslims. That's tough to reconcile.
Oh, sure, it is. It is. But I think if we start by modeling a more reasoned approach in our own interactions, I think eventually people with more radical viewpoints might start to see that there are other ways to deal with the world.
Well, I agree with you, Joe. Thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure. Let's go to Kathy in Glenville. Kathy, you're on.
Hi. This is maybe kind of a holiday platitude, but I would just like everyone to just sort of take a step back and try to reconcile their moral values, who they think our country is, what we stand for, and what we go out and do out in world politics and also at home. Domestically.
How about some examples?
That's it.
How about some examples?
Well, like as far as which regimes we support or not, I mean, is Cuba, we deal with Russia, are they worse than Cuba as far as human rights? Certainly Saudi Arabia, some of those Arab countries. And I'm also wondering whether and I'm not sure I'm up to speed on this, but I believe there's been some big discoveries of oil reserves in Australia. And, of course, with the natural gas in North America, whether, you know, those sort of strategic, you know, changes in those interests will change how we, you know, who we deal with, whether people that let women drive or chop off their heads for adultery or...
Well, right. So, you know, Chris Christie hugs Obama, and he becomes one of the most popular Republicans in the United States. What did that tell you?
Well, you know, it's funny because I didn't know that much about Chris Christie's, you know, politics.
He's very conservative.
He sure comes across, you know, when you do hear him say things like that or the stuff he said after Sandy.
Yep.
You know, you do say, wow, what a great guy. And then later on you hear about how he totally backpedaled on, you know, the special election to replace the senator or whatever happened when somebody died. But, he sure is a good politician. I'll give him that. I don't know whether reconciliation.
Well, but
is really...
the very fact that he did that,
that's true.
Or that Obama shook somebody's hand, shows you what the possibilities are here.
Yeah. Well, I hope that the Tea Party people, or you know, that people don't take that as, oh, geez, he's shaking Cuban's hand, but he's not reaching across the aisle to us Republicans.
Well.
Therefore, he's more of a jerk, you know, or whatever,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, no, that is, you're exactly right in terms of our politics. When the governor of New Jersey puts his arm around Obama, a lot of Democrats and independents said, well, that's what we need more of in this country. On the other hand, he's thinking, oh, boy, I have to go into primaries around this with 15% of the Republicans are going to show up in the angriest ones, and this could cost me big. So, yeah, there are political reasons as well as anything else. Hey, Kathy, that was a good call. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Enjoy the
Okay, and let's go to Eileen in Saugerties. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, Alan. In teacher training, we learned that setting a good example or modeling, as Joe mentioned, is has the strongest impact on children in many cases, or even good parents know that, you set an example for your children.
Yep.
Back when Frank was mentioning about Cuba, and you said to him, something like, well, what would we expect back from them as reciprocation, I feel like we shouldn't have to expect anything. If we hold out our hands, we don't need to expect anything in return. Taking the first step to me is moral. And as we're a large, influential nation, a major power setting a good example has more impact on the world than, let's say, you know, the Marshall Islands or somebody decides to do zero carbon emissions or whatever. Not many people are going to pay attention. But if we set a good example with reconciliation with Cuba or whatever the issue is, to me that has an impact. It sets an example, and we shouldn't be expecting anything in return necessarily.
Well, you know, you make a very good point. Just something, Eileen, like, the President of the United States shaking Castro's hand today.
Yeah, lovely.
You know, nobody has to give anything as a result of it. But it took a Republican, let's remember that, to go to China, because otherwise the Democrats would have been painted as communists if they ever tried it. But yeah, you know, it says something about a simple thing like that. And I like what you said. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, you don't have to get married the day after you shake hands.
No.
But it means something.
But a simple gesture can mean a lot. And it's not necessarily window dressing or PR. It could be sincere and get some results in the end. I appreciate what you said about those things.
Hey, Eileen, thanks for the call. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Alan.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to, it's not linking. Number five is not blinking. Number five is not blinking here. Is it blinking there? No. Okay, so we'll go to number one. Go to number one, Jerry in Schenectady. Jerry, you're on.
Yes, hi, Alan.
Hey.
Going back to your question from the start, where would I like to see some reconciliation occur? And I think the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is a major source of problems in the world.
No question.
Yeah, and so much could change if they would get along. Right now, I'm a little bit concerned about Netanyahu, you know, wanting to aggressively build settlements in parts of the West Bank. That's really kind of inflaming the Palestinians. But on the other hand, the Israelis have a right to live somewhere, and that's their homeland. So if we could do this, it could save us a lot of money, and our support of Israel is getting a lot of countries in the Middle East angry with us, and that's where I'd like to see reconciliation occur.
Well, I think you and every president in the United States would agree with you. Easier said than done. Yeah.
Oh, yes. But fortunately, most presidents keep trying.
They do.
So
They do.
But there's a high practical priority for them doing that, too.
Yeah, well, there is. I mean, I think they know that's where it'll all blow up if it blows up. It starts there. But, of course, there are so many nuances. What am I going to tell you? Do I believe that the Saudis and the Iranians and everybody else are on the same page? No, I don't. So that there's a lot of talk. I once had a professor back at Hunter back in the day. He won a huge prize for this, a guy by the name of Stesinger. And he said that, the fact that the only thing that the Israeli that kept the Arabs from killing each other at the time was that, they had this common thing, this Israel thing. But whether or not everybody was on the same page about how to deal with it is another whole story, or with each other.
Really? Well, what a way to keep peace amongst the Arab countries. You know what I mean?
Amazing. Jerry, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay, right. Let's go to Alan in Albany. Hi, Alan. Alan?
I think it's Alice.
Alice, I'm so sorry. My bad. I'll report this to Sheriff Patrick, whatever. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to mention that locally, we've borrowed the concept of Truth, Justice, and Reconciliation Commission from Mandela and are attempting to apply it to mass incarceration and war on drugs and its impact on our state in particular. Because so many people have been affected by this policy. And I discussed it with Desmond Tutu's daughters when they were in Albany recently, and they applauded using that concept in that way.
Right.
And we're petitioning the governor to establish a Truth, Justice, and Reconciliation Commission to examine in a candid and comprehensive way the policy has really affected so many people in our community. And we really want to find a way to address the problems that it has created.
Well, first of all, Alice, I want to congratulate you on everything you've gotten done in this town. You're a fearless leader, and you really have been a game changer. So I thank you for that. But I want to ask you a question. Let's say somebody walks up to you, conks you over the head, and scrambles your brains on the sidewalk. I'm just giving you the test. What do you think should be done in that case?
Well, you're talking about an individual.
Yes.
Crime.
Yes.
Committed.
Yeah.
Okay. I think everyone has to be. Everything has to be considered when you decide what to do. If you find that this person, for instance, has a mental health problem, then we should treat that person. If we find that the person has other kinds of problems, you know, we have to find a way to deal with it. Some problems can be dealt with, you know, by simply applying a restorative justice model, where we would come to face to face with that person, make sure that person understands the pain that he or she has caused me, and how do we make better? How do we heal each other? And so that's the approach that I would use. I would not use incarceration as the first approach to dealing with the problem. But can there be other things that will make us whole?
Well, you speak words of great wisdom. We have the greatest incarceration rate in the world. Is that right?
Right. And I'm not talking about incarcerating people for an offense. I'm talking about the policy that we're following now of mass incarceration, finding ways to put into prison large groups of people. That is different than talking about punishing someone or doing whatever for an individual crime. We're following a whole policy in the war on drugs and mass incarceration of controlling people, and that policy has led to great harm, particularly in communities of color.
Indeed. Alice, am I allowed to use your last name?
Yes.
Alice, Dr. Alice Green, and thank you so much for what you've done for all of us. Appreciate your hard, hard work. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Daniel in Saugerties. 1-800-348-2551. You can still get in. 1-800-348-2551. Daniel in Saugerties.
Hello, Alan. I guess I was going to go on to my point, but I just want to say thank you, Dr. It was Alan Green, you said?
Alice Green.
Alice Green.
She's an astounding woman. Astounding.
I agree entirely with what she had to say. I mean, like, it was phenomenal. I wasn't surprised, expecting to hear that. And I was like, yep. I personally think that incarceration should be the second to last, like, most extreme thing in case of justice, but that's a different issue. What I was going to say is I feel like this fixation with reconciliation is somewhat it's overvalued. And I know that sounds somewhat controversial, maybe. I hope not. I think reconciliation is a good thing, but it's overvalued in that there are many other very important values and things that we as people might value. That
okay, so getting on with it, Daniel, because we're running out of time. What are some of those others that we value?
Justice, safety, depending on people, you know, equality or relative equality.
Sure.
I could name a bunch. I didn't actually think of them all. But I mean, the big ones would probably be justice is a big one. And like I said, equality, a feeling that you have been treated, that at least there's some amount of accounting, if you will, that's been done, that people have been brought to account, maybe not punished, but at least that whatever they have done, if they got an advantage from it, it might be undone or undone to an extent, or there's any number of ways to value it. But returning to friendly relations, as reconciliation, I guess, is defined, just as a value in and of itself, that undoes all of the harm. It doesn't undo the harm. It sort of glosses over all the harm that one or both parties might have continued to do or have done and had not reversed. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Well, you know, that's right. And the question is, how far back you go? I remember as a child when Castro came to power and people, and I was watching the evening news, I was horrified watching, the Batista guys, as they caught him in the hills, put up against the stakes and murdered, killed.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Batista was certainly no saint himself. So how far back do you go? And how long do you remember those things? How long do you remember the Russian Revolution or the Chinese Revolution? I mean, obviously, these are the key questions. Daniel, I thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Yep.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for the excellent show.
Sure. Bye. Let's go to Tariq in Adams. Okay. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you?
Hi.
Well, the most important thing to me.
Yep.
Is that the Zionists must get out of Palestine. They are a shame to the Jewish religion, and we as human beings should be ashamed.
But wait a second, since this is not what the show is about, what about reconciliation? No reconciliation until they're out, is that what you're saying?
Yes, they daily, on a daily basis, they violate human rights. A 15-year-old boy was shot in the back the other day.
And how about the Israeli soldiers who somebody comes over the border and kills them, shoots them in the brain?
Well, they are Zionist oppressors.
Okay. Well,
that have stolen Palestinian land.
As I say, Tariq, you have now said
that. The moment they arrived.
Now that's coming around the second time. Got anything new? I'm more than interested. Anything new? You've said that twice now. What else you got?
We have to acknowledge apartheid in Palestine. I have no respect for the Israeli soldiers. I have no respect for the Israeli government.
But do you think this is in the spirit? Because that's what this whole program is supposed to be about, of reconciliation, what you're saying now. You sound very militant.
I'm not militant. I am just, I'm sad. Okay. I'm sad is what I am. I'm sad that these beautiful people are being oppressed horribly.
That's the third time. And that nobody
is doing anything about it.
So that's the third time. Thank you, Tariq. Appreciate it very much. Brian, can you say it in a minute?
Hi. Yes, in a minute. Really quick.
Go.
As important as, you know, reconciliation is, we have South Africa as a wonderful example of that.
Right.
Maintaining reconciliation where it has been brought into place is equally important. South Africa is a place where, you know, the whites and blacks, they were able to come together and, you know, build a country together, versus a place like the former Rhodesian countries, like Zimbabwe, where they had a reconciliation and it's broken down.
Okay, now that is, Brian, I am so sorry. I wanted to sneak you in, but that's all we can do because we're out of time.
Okay.
I thank you very much for calling. Okay, we're out of time. Thanks for everyone who called in. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Kingsway Communities, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including independent living apartments, home care, and more. more, 518-393-8800. Joyelle's Jewelers, Delmar, New York, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, laser welding, designer jewelry and gifts, joyellesjewelers.com, and the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages and for the Capital District and beyond, 518-580-8080. Thanks for joining us today on The Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Sheriff Patrick Garrett and Blaze Bryant. Tom Job handled our social media. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update, and I appreciate everybody getting in on it today. It was a wonderful show. Thanks again.